بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله شارع الحرام والحلال، منزل التوراة والأنفال، له الحمد ما تعاقبت الأيام والليالي. أشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله وخيرته من خلقه وخليله، اللهم صل وسلم وزد وبارك عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وكل من اقتفى أثره إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، with the shortcut to Jannah or a shortcut to Paradise, today we have hadith number 8 and 9 from أربعين النووية. Hadith number 8 is the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma. Abdullah ibn Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhuma, as we know him to be one of the fuqaha of sahaba ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in. He said, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أمرت أن أقاتل الناس حتى يشهدوا أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمدا رسول الله ويقيم الصلاة ويؤتوا الزكاة فإذا فعلوا ذلك عصموا مني دماءهم وأموالهم إلا بحق الإسلام وحسابهم على الله تعالى. This hadith number 8 from hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar, who said, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was reported to have said, Prophet said, had been commanded to wage war against people until they bear witness that none and absolutely no one is worthy of worship but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number 2, to believe in me as Allah's messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa yuqimu salah, and that they shall establish prayer. Wa yu'tu zakah, and also to pay their charity and zakah, the well-known zakah. If and only if they do this, believe in Allah, in me as the final and seal of all prophets, establish prayer, salah, and give their alms, zakah, when they do this and believe in this, عصموا مني دماءهم, their blood and their wealth, both are protected, and I have no right to take from their wealth or to shed their blood except with the right of Islam and their hisab, their judgment and reckoning remains with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the hadith of Imam Abdullah ibn Umar, hadith number 8 from Arba'een al-Nawawiyyah. Now let's go back and ponder over the hadith. Umirtu, I had been commanded. Who commands him? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To fight against people until Imam al-Nawawiyyah rahimahullah, quoting from Imam al-Khutabiyyah rahimahullah, who said, those are those whom Almighty had asked our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to fight against until they confirmed the four are the pagans of Arab and the non-believers other than the people of the book who already had been ordained to pay the jizya. So those non-believers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had commanded his prophet to wage war against them until they believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In another riwayah, they believe in me. حَتَّى يُؤْمِنُوا بِي وَبِمَا جِئْتُ بِهِ. In another riwayah, until they believe in me and whatever I have come to people with, meaning the deen of Allah. Now, if they do this, what is the next step? To establish prayer. When they establish prayer, what the next step? To pay zakah. How many? Four. First, to believe in Allah. Second, in His Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Third, to establish prayer. Fourth, to give zakah and pay their charity. This would happen from them. Then Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not allowed to touch their wealth. After paying zakah, establishment of prayer, and also believing in his message as the final and the seal of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and believing in La ilaha illallah. So, ikhwan, you can see, we know how many pillars of Islam do we have? Five. Right? Five pillars. But why did Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mention three? Hajj and Sawm, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not mention them. That is because, according to Imam An-Nawawi and other Imams, because when a person refuses to observe, you know, Ramadan, or to fast during the month of Ramadan, what is required from the leader of Muslims is that he should keep him away from food and also isolate him, you know, from public, so that he will not be eaten in front of them in the month of Ramadan, and he or she should be deprived of what? Food and drink. That's the Islamic ruling on this. So when he or she refuses to fast and the person is not sick, she is not in emergencies, she is not traveling, nothing is wrong with her, he is not sick, he is not journeying, he is not on a journey, but refuses to fast during the month of Ramadan, he or she should be kept in a house or in a place where food or drink will not be provided, and that person is to be isolated from public, you know, in the public. That person should be by himself or by herself. Now, this is about Sawm. How about Hajj? Hajj, when a person, now you know scholars, they have different opinions concerning Hajj, whether yajibu ala al-fawri aw ala al-tarakhi, whether Hajj is to be performed right away when you possess the wealth and also you are, you know, health-wise, you there and capable of doing it, but you refuse. Some scholars said you must do it right away. Now others said no, you can delay it. At the best, wallahu a'lam, is to make it right away. وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حِجُّ الْبَيْتِ مَنِ اسْتَطَعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا. So because of this, you know, and Prophet ﷺ, based on Imam An-Nawawi and those who followed him in his view, which is the right view, inshaAllah, Jalla Jalalu, that's why Prophet did not mention fasting and Hajj. But he had mentioned shahadatu an la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammadur Rasulullah, iqamatu salah and ita'u zakah. So this is hadith number 8. Umirtu an uqatila an-nasa hatta yashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammadur Rasulullah, wa yuqimu as-salah wa yu'tu az-zakah, fa idha fa'alu dhalik 'asamu minni dima'ahum wa amwalahum illa bihaqq al-islam. Prophet ﷺ said, if these four are observed, their blood and also their wealth are both being what? Protected, except with the right of al-Islam. So that means, when you believe in Allah, in Prophet ﷺ, you establish prayer, you've given your alms and still giving your zakah, there are certain things that if you commit, you know, you may also wind up paying the price of losing your life. Example, person who is married, he or she ended up committing adultery. You know, if that's the case, that person, the haqq al-Islam that is upon him, he had violated that. That's why Prophet ﷺ said, even you do the four, I have no right to touch your wealth, and I have no right to touch your wealth without haqq Islam, the right of Islam, if you do not commit and go beyond the boundaries. Example, a person who had killed someone, he should be left walk free. He took somebody's life. There's no Muslim or non-Muslim who will disagree with you if that is his own mother or his own father or his own son that you've taken his life and you are caught, What do you think if you ask him the judgment, what do you think he will say? You've killed his father, you've killed his son, you've killed the dearest one to his heart, and now he is given the choice. What do you think he will say? The same thing. You took my beloved one, then that should be your punishment. That's what every person will say. But now the case will be different if that's somebody else and you are asked. Because probably the person whose life that somebody else took, if that person has no relationship, you know, whatsoever, you know, to you, you may say, well, this, but if that's your heart that he had taken, maybe your mother, maybe your father, maybe your son, maybe your wife, you know, definitely this is what you would say. So that's why when a person kills someone, that is the punishment, when you intentionally kill someone. You see, so that's why Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Illa bihaqqi al-Islam." Except with the right of Islam, you kill someone, you know, intentionally, then that's haqq of Islam there. You are married and then you committed adultery, that's the haqq of Islam right there. So that's the case in this hadith number 8. Right away we move to hadith number 9 from Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu arda, who said, سَمِعْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَقُولُ مَا نَهَيْتُكُمْ عَنْهُ فَاجْتَنِبُوهُ وَمَا أَمَرْتُكُمْ بِهِ فَأْتُوا مِنْهُ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ فإنما أهلك الذين من قبلكم كثرة مسائلهم واختلافهم على أنبيائهم. أبو هريرة عبد الرحمن بن صخر الدوسي رحمه الله رضي الله عنه said, I heard Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم saying, ما نهيتكم عنه فاجتنبوا. Whatever I have forbidden you, stay away from it altogether. But what I have commanded you in the deed, do this, do that, do this, do that. Try your best to do as much as you can do. Because those before you, the generation before us, Prophet ﷺ said, the reason why Allah destroyed them and the reason why they all or most of them were turned to ruin and shred is that they used to, you know, overburden their prophets and messengers with a lot of questions. And also going back and forth with their prophets. Let's go back and look at the hadith again. If I forbid you, man, whatever I have forbidden you, stay away from it. But whatever I've commanded you to do, do as much as possible. You can see he did not say, whatever I have forbidden you, stay away from it as much as possible, like he did when he said, when whatever I commanded. So whatever I have forbidden you, he says, stay away from it. Because you can stay away from unlawful things altogether. But what Allah had asked us to do, you cannot do everything altogether. Who can do everything that Allah said? From A to Z, to the, you do every, like there's not even a jot, tittle or iota of it that you leave behind. This is, this is overburdened. You can do everything. You just do as much as possible. So, Prophet, but when it comes to haram, now this is something that your soul goes you to it. So if you can stay away from it altogether. So Prophet ﷺ said, whatever I have forbidden you, if I forbid you to stay away from something and refrain yourself from it, fajitanibu, stay away from it. But what I commanded you, do what? As much as possible. Why? إِنَّمَا أَهْلَكَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ. Those before you, the generation before you, the reason why they were destroyed and they were ruined is كَثْرَةُ مَسَائِلِهِمْ. Their overburdenment of questioning their prophets. You know the reason why Prophet ﷺ said this hadith from hadith, this hadith is متفقٌ عليه, just like hadith number 8 is also متفقٌ عليه. There's a hadith in Muslim on the authority of Ali ibn Abi Talib who said Prophet ﷺ khatab al-nas, Prophet stood on the minbar and he gave khutbah. The Friday sermon. On Friday, so when he gave khutbah, he said, Ya ayyuhan nas, O mankind, inna Allah qad farada alaykum al-hajja fahujju. That O mankind, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made upon you the faridah of hajj. Hajj is compulsory upon all of you, therefore perform it. Go to Hajj and perform Hajj. Aqra' ibn Habis stood up. He said, Ya Rasulullah, afi kulli aam, Hajj should be performed every year? He asked. Hajj should be performed every afi kulli aamin, Ya Rasulullah. Then Prophet kept quiet. He again asked, afi kulli aamin, Ya Rasulullah. Prophet kept silent. He then again, he went forward, afi kulli aamin, Ya Rasulullah. Then Prophet looked at him, at them. He said, لَوْ قُلْتُ نَعَمُ لَوَجَبَتْ. You asked me the first time and I was silent. You ask again, I was silent. If I was to say yes, that would have been compulsory for everyone among Muslims to perform Hajj every year. وَلَوْ قُلْتُ نَعَمْ لَوَجَبَتْ لَمَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. لَوْ قُلْتُ نَعَمْ لَوَجَبَتْ وَلَمَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ وَلَهَلَكْتُمْ. If I was to say yes, that would have been composed and made wajib upon you. And if that is made wajib upon you, you would not have been able to make it. Ikhwan, Hajj once in our lifetime. How many people making it? So that means now, whether you have the choice or not, you have to make it. If you was to say yes, you cannot say, you know, I don't possess the wealth. You know, I don't get my documents together. You know, I'm not feeling well to make it. If he had said yes, none of this would have been, all this would have been out of the equation. You have to make it. Whether you seek, you have the wealth, you don't, you have to. Who will be able to do it every year this way? And you know, those who don't even perform Hajj are those in Mecca. A lot of people there, they never been in Mecca. They live there, they were born there, they grew up there, but some of them, they didn't even make Hajj yet. Now you will say, wow, that's unbelievable. They get it. You don't need no whatever. But whatever the case might be, some don't even pray in Haram. You and I, we dine if we can get that chance, you know, to pray in Haram, the best. But so you can see somebody next to Haram, probably like years, he doesn't even know the way to Haram. I'm telling you. Subhanallah. To you, is what? This is unbelievable. But this is so if Prophet, that's what Prophet Sallallahu face changed. He said when he said in the book of Imam al-Darqutni and also Sunan al-Bayhaqi, Prophet said that wasakata ala ashiya'a rahmatan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not mention certain things in the deen. He kept silent over them. So you do not investigate and keep on asking why. And then after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the ayah in Surah Al-Uqud, chapter 5. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَسْأَلُوا عَنْ أَشْيَاءَ إِن تُبْدَ لَكُمْ تَسُؤْكُمْ وَإِن تَسْأَلُوا عَنْهَا حِينَ يُنزَلُ الْقُرَانُ أَوْ حِينَ يُنَزَّلُ الْقُرْآنُ تُبْدَ لَكُمْ عَفَى اللَّهُ عَنْهَا اللَّهُ غَفُورٌ حَلِيمٌ. Allah said, O ye who believe, لَا تَسْأَلُوا عَنْ أَشْيَاءَ. Don't ask and overburden your prophets with a lot of questions that we did not even mention in the book or scripture. We kept silent over them. Don't go beyond and investigate and keep on asking them. If we make those questions that you actually posted to prophets and messengers, if we were to explain them to you, tasukkum, that will harm you. Okay, chicken is halal. Okay, Imam, the chicken has to, be white chicken or, you know, red chicken. You know, that chicken, Imam, should be how old before we can eat it? You know, that chicken should be, you know, from, you know, just leave it. Chicken, khalas. It's slaughtered by a Muslim, a Jew or Christian. Yalla khalas, yabni. Tawakkal Allah, ba. A Muslim had slaughtered it. You know, do you have the birth certificate of the chicken? Yeah, Basha. Be too late. See, some people go beyond. You remember the people of Prophet, you know, Musa. Idbahu Baqara, slaughtered a cow. Did Allah specify any cow? No, Musa, can you please ask him? We want to know the type of cow. Dekalamdi. Idbahu Baqara, slaughtered a cow. A cow, Allah did not say slaughtered the cow, slaughter a cow. Yalla mashi, your ruh, اذبح البقرة يا باشا. لا 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 لا, لا عايزين نعرف بقى أي نوع. طيب ماشي, أتتخذنا هزوة؟ لا لا, قال أعوذ بالله نكون من. قالوا ادعوا لنا ربك يبين لنا ما هي. قال إنه يقول إنها بقرة لا فارض ولا بكر عوان. لا 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 وي ونو دكالا, بين لنا ما لونها. لا 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 لا, طيب go slaughter yellow. Can you find the yellow cow? You see, if they were to slaughter at the beginning, will Allah accept that from them, or he wouldn't have accepted it? He would have accepted it. But the problem, they keep on asking. So that's why Prophet, when Aqra' ibn al-Habis, when Aqra' ibn al-Habis asked him, his face changed. He said, I said, Inna Allah farada alaykum al-hajja fa'ujju. You make it once, that's it. Imam al-Nawawi and Imam ibn Daqiq al-Eid, radiallahu anhuma, you know, they both mentioned this, that was actually during the time when Prophet ﷺ said, do not, don't ask too much. What Allah said is this, just leave it as it is. If I mention something, then just accept it. But don't keep on asking, why did Allah destroy those before you? كَثْرَةُ مَسَائِلِهِمْ. Asking and overwhelming the prophets and, you know, inundating them with a lot of questions and واختلافهم على back and forth with the prophets. You see? So Prophet ﷺ said, don't do it and don't be like that. Those imams said, Ibn Daqiq and Imam Nawawi, to close, they said that is because during the time of Prophet ﷺ, the wahi is still what? Coming. But how about now? We still have wahi? Akhlas. Unless you have Imam al-Duja somewhere, who's still receiving a wahi. Not Imam al-Huda, Imam al-Duja. Al-Duja is darkness. You see, now there's no more wahi. Do we have wahi? Inqata'a al-wahyu fazala al-ishkal. The wahi is gone. No more wahi. So now, the question that Prophet ﷺ talked about, based on Imam ibn Daqiq al-Eid, Imam al-Nawawi, Shaykh al-A'lam ibn Uthaymeen al-Rahim, radiallahu anil jami', is that the things that are evident, but you're still trying to scrutinize, you're trying to delve in it. But issues like your prayer, there are certain things that Ibn Daqiq al-Eid said you must ask. You have no choice. Like issues of your wudu, prayer, zakah, hajj. You don't know? You must ask, because this is fardu ayn. Fardu ayn is upon everybody, everyone. I don't know how to make wudu, I have to ask. I don't know how to pay zakah, I have to ask. I don't know what nullifies my Ramadan, I have to ask. I don't know things to avoid during the month of Ramadan, I have to ask. I don't know the issues of, you know, the things that deals with trading in Islam and making business, and I'm a businessman, I have to ask. So this masail are fardu ayn, everybody. And we have some issues that are fardu kifaya. They are not fardu ayn. Fardu ayn is upon everybody, but fardu kifaya is upon some. If some do it, alhamdulillah, others is not must upon them. Issues like, you know, you want to really, really know things about, you know, how to be a judge. Islamic judge, I mean, you know, like we have them in Islamic countries. And also some things about fatawa, how to be a mufti and all this kind of stuff. It's not upon everybody. So if you want to specialize in that, Allah said, وَمَا كَانَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ لِيَنْفِرُوا كَافَّ فَلَوْلَا نَفَرَ مِنْ كُلِّ فِرْقَةٍ مِنْهُمْ طَائِفَةٌ لِيَتَفَقَّهُوا فِي الدِّينِ وَلِيُنْذِرُوا قَوْمَهُمْ إِذَا رَجَعُوا إِلَيْهِمْ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَحْذَرُونَ 9:122 of Surah Al-Bara'ah. You see, so this upon some individuals, selective individuals, those who want to. And then we have some issues that we are not allowed to ask. Example, a brother had invited me to his house. And I saw, you know, some chicken on the table. And the chicken is kind of smiling. You see, but I'm not sure whether it is really, really like chicken or not. And he is Muslim. And that chicken, I just go, Bismillah, and start, you know, having good time. That's a Muslim. I don't have to ask. And to ask it, that is haram. It's forbidden. Imam al-Nawawi, if you remember, in وَمَنْ وَقَعَ فِي الشُّبُهَاتِ وَقَعَ فِي الْحَرَامِ, he explained, he said things like that. لا يجب السؤال لا يجب البحث عن بل يكره السؤال عن. He said things, certain things that you don't, it's not a must for you to ask, and it's even dislike for you to ask. You see, so there are certain things that you have to ask and certain things that you don't have to ask. So this is the two hadith that we took today. Hadith number 8 and hadith number 9. Hadith number 8 on Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أمرت أن أقاتل الناس حتى يشهدوا أن لا إله إلا الله وفي رواية حتى يقولوا لا إله إلا الله وأن محمد رسول الله وفي رواية حتى يؤمنوا بي وبما جئت به حتى يشهدوا أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمد رسول الله ويقيموا الصلاة ويؤتوا الزكاة فإذا فعلوا ذلك عصموا مني دماءهم أموالهم إلا بحق الإسلام وحسابهم على الله تعالى. Hadith number 9 and the last hadith we took tonight is hadith of Abi Hurairah عبد الرحمن بن صخر الدوسي رضي الله عنه قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول ما نهيتكم عنه فاجتنبوه وما أمرتكم به فأتوا منه ما استطعتم فإنما أهلك الذين من قبلكم كثرة مسائلهم some رواية كثرة سؤالهم هي كثرة مسائلهم واختلافهم على أنبيائهم. This is the hadith that we took. Thank you very much for being with us. We ask Allah to bless you now. Hayakum Allah.
In regard to the asking the brothers if going to somebody's house and asking if it is halal or, you know, zabiha or non-zabiha. Because if you know a person that he is fine with eating non-zabiha meat, right, and he invites you to his house, and at that time, I mean, you know this person eats zabiha and non-zabiha, should you still ask or should you just say bismillah?
Now the question is, let's say someone invited somebody, and that body who is being invited to somebody's house knows that the one who invited him, he told him whether it's the biha or not, he just womb. Told him it's not a big deal. Whether it's the biha or not, you know, let's keep it moving. Let's keep the trolley moving. That's his mentality. He doesn't care whether it's the biha, whether it's not the biha, to whom, if it's me, bismillah, mashallah. And you know that person? If that's the case, and you know that person, and you know for sure, not just somebody told you, and you know, really, really, you're 100% sure that this guy told him, like, whether it's the biha or it's not, he just, boom. If that's that guy and you know him, then here you ask. You say, you tell him, I don't eat the biha. And I don't eat except the biha. That's what I eat. You know, so here you can ask, because you know him bi'aynihi, you see. But if you don't know him, except, you know, we have some people who don't care whether it's the biha or not, but you don't know them, those are nawadir. وَالنَّوَادِرُ لَا حُكْمَ لَهَا فِي الشَّرَعِ. Those are, you know, exceptions. And, you know, exceptions in the deen, we don't base the hukum on that. You know, we don't base the hukum on nawadir, you know, the rare things. So if you know that this brother, you know him for 100% sure, then if that's the case, you ask. And you let him know that this is, you know, I don't feel comfortable. You know, so if you get that for me, you know, I'm sorry. But if not, you know, I don't mind. I would love to come, you know, if you get it together. But if you, you know, I know that you, whether it's wujudu dhabihatika adabiha indak, lumishham shikid, you know, you, whether it's this or that, you just, bismillah, mashallah, I'm not like that. So you let him know, and then you ask him, because you know that this person is like that. It's just like a person whom you know that this guy, all what he deals with is riba. That's all what he deals with. And he doesn't care. And you know him personally, that you advise him, and you run in some transaction to avoid, that's the best thing you can do. You see, but you don't know. It's just like, I guess, if guessing, then you can trade with. So that's like the dhabiha here. You see, but if the Muslim in general invites, if you know he or she eats dhabiha or not, you're not sure, then we don't ask. But if we know for sure this guy, you know, sometimes he even enjoys non-dhabiha, then you ask. Now.
Shaykh, we run into a lot of events. Events are going on. Also, they have supplies of food for everything. So even we can ask the question of the meets or zabiya. I mean, you just have to, any Islamic event, for example, the religious things. There are some events, they have to have the food, everything over there. The stall, the food stall is there, or even they supply the food sometimes. So we can ask any question. Is it right or is it?
So who are the...
Let's say ikhla, events. Let's say some events, some even in the masjid or somewhere, they're running some events and they're supplying their food or food or something. Can we ask this question? Is it something that we...
Okay, let's say this is the organization like Muslim running it.
Yes.
And they are known to be Muslims, but we don't know. And they running the events and we get invited. Inshallah, with the hukum of Islam, we go. And then take whatever they provide for us. But if we know that they are just like those individuals, to them it's like, and they have issued a fatwa that to us it doesn't matter. And you heard that from them, then now you stay away from it. But they did not issue, you know, any fatwa. But you don't know, you see, you're not sure. You see, shak, doubt. Yaqeen, la yazilu bishak. Yaqeen, certainty, cannot be propelled and dragged by doubt. This is part of the qawaid al-fiqhiyya in our deen. If I'm certain that I'm in wudu, now doubt cannot remove that until I'm 100% sure that I broke my wudu. So a Muslim is in that position of yaqeen. For us to remove that yaqeen from him, we have to be sure. Whether he had said it or somebody said it on his behalf and he did not deny, that means it's confirmed. But if not, then it's okay for us, you know, to take because of his standard by being what? By being naturally upon yaqeen, not upon shak. But if they have announced, you know, to us or one, their representative, one who represents them, had said it, nobody stood up to deny, then that means, you know, we just stay all together. Except if we don't know and they are Muslims, then we deal with them accordingly. And always, alhamdulillah, Allah bless us that now, you know, brothers are opening this kind of businesses and also running stuff. So for you to search for it here becomes like something recommended for you to do, you know, so that you can keep the halal stuff moving. You see, you keep the halal stuff moving. You see, because if you don't promote the halal, the biha that people are struggling just to provide, and then now you're just promoting somebody, they cannot sustain that business and run the biha. You see, so it's upon us to also, if I know that this, and even if I go to, let's say, you know, shop right now, they understood that Muslims, we don't eat, but halal, now they start providing and they write on it halal. You see, so now when we go, we keep on taking from that for them to know that, you know, if we really want business, we have to be providing halal for them. You see, I don't know in Jersey, but in Philly, you know, we have a section. When you go even the big, like this restaurant depot, the one we have in Philadelphia, like Jetro, like this one, you can, the one we have, we call it Jetro in Philadelphia. You know, they have halal section. Like, you can have the whole sheep or the whole, you know, goat or the whole, like, halal. You see? And they have been scrutinized that if you get it twisted, you know, you can we can see you. If you just put some halal and it's not. You know, it's our right to sue the company. You see? So they know that, you know, they can get sued and this can take from them millions of dollars. So they don't play game in terms of what they label. You see, so if that's the case, non-Muslims now understood that we don't eat but that, and now they provide it, and a Muslim doesn't care, that doesn't add up. You see, so we have to promote one another's business, especially in terms of, you know, halal stuff. And that's why even in New York, when I was in New York 11 years back or 12 years back, when I was in New York, you go in, you know, Staten Island, you know, and also in Manhattan. You know, them are brothers who run in the business and how do you call it, you know, standing with the food and selling the food in the street. You know, when a lot of non-Muslims, they come in line, even more than Muslims, they buy from that. Because they say, you know, this is clean and it's together. You know, so they're filling our food. How about us just denying it? So let's promote the business. Let's promote one another. And this is the growth and development that Muslims we lacking and we far behind. You have your business. You have your corporation. You have the business that you run. And I know, as a Muslim, that I want to see you prosper in any business. And this is my field. I have to be dealing with you so that I can get yours promoted. And for us to, you know, that's what, you know, means, you know, when you travel, you see the Yahud, the Jews, you see, in terms of business, how they get their business together. Why? Because of the promotion. In no one, like in terms of, you know, ethnicity and groups, that whose business is moving like them. You see, the same thing Christians. So Yahud, their money bounces like 18 times. Christians like 16 times, just like Anderson, Dr. Anderson mentioned in his argument. So the point here is, Ikhwan, let's promote the halal stuff, you know, so that we can have more and more. And this, we believe, is even more quality that we even want non-Muslim to share that with us. Because if we believe that to be quality, we want the same good with our non-Muslim, you know, colleagues and friends. You know, in school, in business. I want, when I'm eating halal, he is feeling comfortable eating halal with me. And he or she, when he goes to buy some, he knows that, no, Muhammad, if I was to get him some, if I go buy him some, other than this, he's not going to eat it. So this is, you know, indirect da'wah. It's like a covert clandestine da'wah that you're moving with, that Allah will reward you. May Allah bless you. I appreciate your waiting and your patience with time. Inshallah, on Wednesday we come back with hadith number 10. Thank you so much. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.